Hi everyone, I'm Jennifer Moss. I'm a doctoral student at UNC. I'm going to present today on a partnership between a health department and a school system to boost HPV vaccination among middle school girls. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose, so let's get started. School-located vaccination, Noel talked a little bit about this before, using school health centers to deliver vaccines to adolescents. And they're a great resource if you have them. Only about 6% of schools in the U.S. have these school health centers. So another option is to do mass vaccination. And this is a voluntary, short-term, perhaps 1 day or 2 days, where a lot of people can go and receive a vaccine. So you can think about a blood drive, everybody goes on the same day, and then the next day it's gone. Everyone can go to the school and receive their vaccines on one particular day, and then the next day it's gone. So this is, working in schools is really great with adolescents because it's very high access. Most adolescents are in school many hours a day, most days of the week, so you can get them there. And mass vaccination works well in other schools, and Noel talked about this a little bit as well, that we see really high rates of vaccination, including with HPV vaccine, using these mass vaccination techniques. So this was a really promising approach. So I'll tell you a little bit about this intervention that was developed to do mass vaccination with HPV vaccine. So the intervention was conducted in Guilford County, North Carolina. It's highlighted in red right there. A little bit about Guilford County. It's an urban county with Greensboro, North Carolina, the largest city. It's socially conservative, and they have a high rate of cervical cancer mortality at about 6.1 per 100,000 women each year for the 2000-2009 time interval. And this is higher than the state and the surrounding counties. So HPV vaccination could have a really big impact here in Guilford County. So the intervention team, I'll tell you a little bit about how they developed this intervention. The first step was laying the groundwork, and they raised awareness using this Don't Wait, Educate countywide educational campaign that aimed to reduce misconceptions among parents and school administrators about HPV vaccine. And as part of that campaign, they also surveyed parents about how they felt about vaccination in schools. And almost all of the parents who were surveyed supported school-located vaccination. So building off of that finding, the team put together a plan for developing the mass vaccination program. The team included the local health department, the local school system, as well as an advisory team with principals, public health nurses, community members. So they prepared this intervention that would have a few days throughout the school year where girls could, and this was only for girls, could receive HPV vaccine at the middle school for free. So this was for the 2009-2010 school year. About 7 months before the school year began, the intervention team presented a proposal to the school board, and they just hardly passed that proposal, 6-5. It was very contentious, and the school board required that the intervention team modify the program in several ways, including these two stipulations I have up here, that the clinics occur during non-instructional hours, either before or after school, and that parents had to be present during vaccination at each vaccination, at the delivery of each dose. And then they, in response to those stipulations, the intervention team created their materials, including informational packets that were sent home to parents through the backpack system that Noel mentioned, and also two consent forms and surveys for the parents. There were two consent forms, one for consenting to receive the vaccine, and the other one was unfortunately, acknowledging the possibility of side effects, including death. In response to a negative media story about HPV vaccine that came out around the same time. So that was unfortunate. The third step was to plan the intervention logistics. They had a team member to enter doses of HPV vaccine into the North Carolina Immunization Registry. And this was really important to parents that the adolescent's primary care provider would be able to see that the girl received the vaccine. They also established procedures to bill HPV vaccine doses to private insurance or the Vaccines for Children program, which publicly funds vaccines. And they also had a grant mechanism to pay for HPV vaccine for those girls who didn't have private insurance or were not eligible for Vaccines for Children. And so in this way, they were able to offer the vaccine for free to all of the adolescents. And finally, the team chose schools where they could implement the program. The school board actually decided which schools would have the vaccine clinics. There are 22 middle schools in Guilford County, and six of them were selected to be host middle schools where clinics would actually take place. And the remaining 16 schools were satellite schools. Girls attending those schools could receive the vaccine if they traveled to one of the host schools. So I'll transition now into the outcome evaluation and show you the results of this intervention. In terms of schools, as I mentioned, there were 22 eligible schools. 21 of them participated. One of the satellite schools declined to participate out of concerns that parents would object to HPV vaccine. Looking at the schools, comparing the host schools to the satellite schools, there wasn't any different for the variables that we tested. There weren't any differences. Most of the schools were in an urban area, and they had several hundred students attending each school. In terms of students, there were about 8,000 girls in the host and satellite schools. And about 2% of them participated in the program. 171 received at least one dose of HPV vaccine. And their median age was 12, median grade was 7. If we look a little more deeply into who got the vaccine, we can see that girls at host schools were more likely to vaccinate than girls at satellite schools. And here you can see on the y-axis, we have the percent of each school's population that received at least one dose of HPV vaccine. And on the left side are the satellite schools. On average, about 1% of their female students initiated HPV vaccine. And for the host schools, on the right side, about 6%. So the OR, the odds ratio, is about 6.6, which was statistically significant. If we look at completion, we find that most of the girls who participated in the vaccination clinics received all three doses. So in that green chunk, about 80% of the girls who were participating completed the vaccine series, which was really promising. The NIS teen data from 2009, the year of this intervention, found that about 70% of girls who initiated HPV vaccine received all three doses. So it was a little bit higher. And now I'll transition to the process evaluation. I'll tell you about some things that potentially impacted the results that we found. At schools, as I mentioned before, there were two consent forms that the parents had to sign, which was a last-minute change by the school administrators. As I mentioned, there was a national media story about HPV vaccine will kill your daughter. So the dissemination of the intervention materials was delayed so that we could add this second consent form. So because of that, the materials only went out to parents a few days before the first clinic. So we actually added one vaccination day for each school. We originally planned for 3 vaccination days for each school spread out over the school year. And as I said, we actually did 4 for each school. And for the satellite schools, as I mentioned, one declined to participate. 2 of the satellite schools did not distribute the intervention materials as they agreed to. And instead of sending the information packets home with the students, they told parents they could come to the school to pick up the materials. So a lot of them did not. And we estimate that about 12% of the target population did not receive the intervention materials because of that change. As I mentioned, we had surveys for parents, and we had separate surveys for parents who participated in the clinics versus those who didn't participate. And we found that most of the parents who participated, who went with their daughters to each vaccine clinic, they were very accepting of the clinics. 100% said they were pleased overall with their experience at the mass vaccination day. For non-participating parents, only about 1% returned their surveys to us. Among that 1%, most of them said that they didn't participate because their daughter had already initiated HPV vaccine. But because we only have 1% of those surveys, we can't really interpret those data, unfortunately. And here's some information about the cost. The intervention only used about a third of their planned budget. And I have a chart here showing how they actually spent their funds. Most of the expenditure was on personnel, about two-thirds of the budget, and about a quarter of the budget was spent on HPV vaccine, which was less than they had originally planned, partly because they didn't administer that many doses, and partly because so many of the vaccine doses were covered by private insurance through the Vaccines for Children program. So in conclusion, we had some disappointing participation, but among those who did participate, we had pretty promising outcomes. We report several lessons learned, including if you do a mass vaccination campaign, expanding the scope to focus on all 3 adolescent vaccines instead of only HPV vaccine could increase participation and HPV vaccination. Making the vaccination clinics as convenient as possible is crucial. Having convenient hours, maybe not requiring the parent to accompany the daughter at each visit, minimizing the distance needed to travel. The consent issue, as I mentioned before, was burdensome and probably scary. And we need substantial buy-in from parents. As I mentioned, most of the parents that we talked to the first phase, the educational phase of the intervention, were supportive of school-located vaccination, but most of them didn't participate when it was offered. But among those who did participate, they were really pleased with the experience. It was very acceptable and satisfying for them. And finally, we need to secure buy-in from partners, especially school systems, as early as possible from the very beginning. So in conclusion, schools seem to be a good venue for HPV vaccination, high satisfaction among users for the mass vaccination clinics, and there was good follow-through with the participating students. And this project, we think, has high ecological validity. All of it was implemented by the county health department, so we think that other county health departments can do the same. And unfortunately, substantial challenges remain for HPV vaccination in general and also in schools. So I just want to thank our partners and our funding sources, and let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the parents of the daughters who participated. The parents did have to attend every visit with their daughters. So the surveys were separated for surveys that we gave to parents at the clinics, so their daughters were participating, and versus a survey to the non-participating parents that was sent out, mailed to them. It's the female students who did not attend the clinic. They didn't receive any doses. Right, yes. We don't know about the medical care of the girls outside of this intervention. Right. I think originally the team wanted this to be a good alternative for if you can't make it to the primary care provider. But because of the school board stipulations, it didn't turn out to actually be much more convenient than a primary care provider. They were able to communicate who received a vaccine at the mass vaccination clinics using the electronic immunization registry.